we're building a foundation for faith. Amen. Faith needs a foundation to build upon, or it'll collapse. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So ge peru da simbere ge de sedeki beru so ke perodosa. Brade segi meno gosta ke perese teke. Oh, how I long to give to my own, says the Spirit of God. Oh, how I long for you to receive. Oh, how I long for you to open yourselves up and to receive a full supply of my Spirit, says the Spirit of God. Oh, how I long for you to receive all things that I've provided pertaining to life and godliness. So open yourself up to my Spirit. Open your spirit to my Spirit, says the Spirit of grace, and I will fill your cup. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? God longs to provide for His children. Amen. He's not an old cheapskate. He's a good God. He's a loving Father. And Jesus said, as you always hear me say, and you'll continue to hear me say, until my time comes to go to the planet heaven. Jesus prayed in the garden, Father, let them know you love them as much as you love me. That's big. Anybody in here have any idea how much God loves Jesus? I have no idea in the world. I can't comprehend it. Amen. But I'll never stop trying to understand it. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll never stop praying that He'll fill me and us to overflowing with the knowledge of His will. That we would come to understand the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes human understanding. Amen. God loves us as much as He loves Jesus. Oh, you got to say it with me. Say, God loves me as much as He loves Jesus. You don't hear yourself say that enough. I said, you don't hear yourself say that enough. You probably just heard yourself say it, most of you, for the first time. So say it again. God loves me as much as He loves Jesus. I have to tell you, I'm disappointed when I stand up here and I ask everybody to say something that Jesus shed His blood for, and some of you just sit there and don't say it. I'm not the kind of pastor who says, well, I'm not going to say nothing to them. They'll get angry with me. I'm going to give you another chance for every person in this room to open your mouth in appreciation for what Christ has done for you, what God has done for you, and say, God loves me as much as He loves Jesus. It's a shame. Some are still just refusing to say it. Just refusing to say it. Well, glory be to God. I'll say it for you. God loves you as much as He loves Jesus. Hallelujah. You're not in trouble. I just don't understand why someone wouldn't want to say that. Hallelujah. Everybody's wondering who wouldn't say it. Well, you don't know, and I'm not going to tell you, but you pray for people who just, maybe it's just too much of a revelation for some people. Maybe it's just, God is such a magnanimous God. He's such a good God. For some people, it's just hard for them to understand. They've been taught that God is the God of wrath and that He's angry with them. And God's not a God of wrath. The Bible says, he who loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God is love. And God loves us as much as He loves Jesus. Amen. We could dismiss on that, and there's enough revelation in that to last you until the second coming. But I won't do that to you. I'll ask you to turn to John 16. Amen. May I take these? Hallelujah. I guess the answer is no. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Say, Pastor. You finish it.
Love you, man.
We really love you, man. Amen. Hallelujah. We're talking about the basics of faith. Amen. I ask you to go to John chapter 16. This is our fourth week, our fourth foundational block as we're building a strong foundation for faith to build on. 4 weeks ago tonight, we began the series, and I shared with you a message about the new birth. The fact that we are new creations in Christ. Amen? And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, a brand new creation who never existed before. Behold, all things are new. All things are what? And all things are?
New.
All things are?
New.
And all things? All right, he's talking about your spirit, man. Amen. God took your old spirit out, your old evil nature, your old wrathful nature, your old demonic nature out, and he put a benevolent, godly nature on the inside of you. I didn't have no evil nature. I was not filled with no devil before I gave my life to Jesus. Well, you old heathen, you just don't believe the Bible. Amen? Because Ephesians chapter 2 says that we were all children of wrath, following the sinful course of this world. Sons and daughters of disobedience before Jesus got a hold of us. Amen? And when we made Christ the Lord of our lives, we became brand new creations that never existed before. God took the old man out, put a new man in, put his spirit on the inside of our human spirits, and we became what Peter calls newborn babes in Christ. 1 Peter 2:22. He said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of God's word. Babies have no ugly, sinful past. When you got saved, you became a brand new creation in Christ. The old man passed away, and the new man rose up from within by the Spirit of God within you. Amen? And now the Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he's in union with the Lord. Your spirit is in union with the God of all creation. That's a good report. Amen? Well, we can't go back into that. We have the CD over there on the table if you want that. We followed that message up the following week with the fact that you are the righteousness of God, faith building block number 2, faith basic number 2, with the fact that you became the righteousness of God the moment you were born again. And we told you what righteousness is and what it does. Amen? The Bible says in Romans 5:17, as many as receive abundance of grace in the, say, free gift. In the free gift, of righteousness shall reign and rule in life by Christ Jesus. It's a free gift. You can't earn righteousness. Righteousness simply means to have right standing with God. Amen? We told you that E.W. Kenyon defined righteousness as the ability to stand in the presence of God without a sense of guilt or inferiority. Whew! Righteousness. It's a gift. You can't earn it. The Bible says, oh, hallelujah. I'd like to preach that whole message over. I love preaching on righteousness. Amen. He made him who knew no sin to be made sin on our behalf, that we might be made the righteousness of God, the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. God lives in you tonight. Huh? You sleepy things? Hallelujah. That's okay. You worked all day. I understand. I appreciate you making an effort to be here. Amen? God lives in you. And the Bible says, he who watches over Israel neither slumbereth nor sleepeth. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he's not going to sleep during the service, so don't you. Amen? Righteousness, the ability to stand in the presence of God without a sense of guilt or inferiority. Amen. What did we talk about last time we were together last week? The fact that we are seated in heavenly places in a position of tremendous authority above the angels of God. We showed you that in the Bible. Not below the angels of God, but above the angels of God. Above Satan and demon powers, the rulers of the darkness of this present evil world. And all demonic principalities and powers have been placed below your feet. And you're supposed to be telling them what to do, not the other way around. Amen. James 4:7 says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You just tell him, get in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. He'll go. Yes. Amen. Amen. Can you hear me okay? We got other seats in the front here if you need to get a little closer. Amen? Oh, get those CDs. They'll change your life. Amen? Faith needs a foundation to build upon. The new creation is a block in that foundation. Righteousness is a block in that foundation. The fact that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ at the Father's right hand above angels and demons is another block in that foundation. Tonight I'm going to talk to you briefly about the fact that you have the absolute right to use the name of Jesus because you are a new creation, because you are the righteousness of God, because you are seated at the Father's right hand. You have the absolute right to use the name of Jesus and to expect supernatural results. John chapter 16, real quickly, if you would please. Amen. Say, this is good already. Come on, prophesy. This is good already. Hallelujah. John chapter 16. Let's pick it up right here. Hallelujah. For time's sake, we'll go to verse 23. And in that day, say amen if you're there. Say oh my if you need some time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, Cece, no more fooling around. You're there, aren't you, truly? Yeah, you're there. John chapter 16, 23, Jesus speaking, he said, in that day, the day that he goes back to heaven, which he's gone now, amen, you know that, amen, he's ascended to be seated at the Father's right hand, we saw that last week. In that day, once I'm gone, you shall ask me nothing. See, the disciples used to ask him for everything. They prayed to him for everything. He did most of that praying for them to the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Here's where a lot of Christians have fallen down in prayer, right here. They pray to Jesus. They pray to Jesus. I said they pray to Jesus. Jesus said, pray to the Father in my name. That's an astounding revelation to some people. We can worship Jesus. We can fellowship with Jesus. We can praise Jesus. We can preach Jesus, but we can't petition Jesus. We're not to pray to Jesus. Jesus said, when you have a need, pray to the Father in my name. He will give it to you. As long as it's within the bounds of Scripture, you know that. You can't ask for flaky, stupid things that God never promised. Amen? We can ask for anything within the bounds of Scripture. What he's doing here is he's expressing the Christian's power of attorney in his name. We can ask the Father for anything in this book, in Jesus' name, and if we'll stand firm, refuse to take no for an answer, one way or another, he'll get it through to us. He promises, whether it's healing, help in our finances, salvation for our family members, wisdom in a crisis situation, or even in a non-crisis situation. Amen? They're all things God promises. Whatever you ask the Father for within the bounds of Scripture, Jesus said, if you ask in my name, he'll get it to you. Did you get that? You can't pray to Jesus. I had a man, I preached on this for a couple of weeks up in Vermont. I had a man come and tell me, I'm not going to make the change. I've been praying to Jesus all these years. My mama taught me to pray to Jesus. She's in heaven now. I just can't accept that. So you can take your mama's word over Jesus' word? I'm just going to have to do it. He wouldn't come to church anymore after that. I'm just trying to help him from the word. He's the one who asked why his prayers weren't being answered. I found out after talking to him for about 5 minutes, he's praying to Jesus. He's not praying to the Father. I pointed out what his problem was. He said, I can't make the adjustment. That's not what Mama taught me. Mama save the drama for your mama and do what Jesus said. Amen. Amen? He said, pray to the Father in Jesus' name. You have the absolute authority to pray to the Father in Jesus' name and expect results. Amen? Now, this is something that's for all believers. Jesus is talking to the original 12, the big 12 here. But he's not limiting himself to the big 12. This is a promise to all believers. The power to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. The power to use Jesus' name against sickness and poverty and demons and the curse of the law is given to all believers, not just the big 12. Now, some of our evangelical brethren would say otherwise. They would say, no, that power, that authority was given only to the original 12. And I would say, I take issue with that from the Word of God. Go to Luke chapter 10, if you would, please. No, you know what we'll do? Go to Mark 16. We'll go to Luke 10 after that, I believe. Go to Mark chapter 16. This is better. Do it this way. Signs and wonders are to follow all believers who use the name of Jesus, not just ministers and not just the big 12. Amen? Mark chapter 16. Amen. We'll give you a second to get there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody there? Hallelujah. It's okay if you need another second to get there. We give it to you. Amen. We want everybody to see this. Amen. We're talking tonight about the fact that you have the absolute right to use Jesus' name and to expect supernatural results. It's not a hit or miss proposition. These are promises of God we're talking about. Everyone say God.
God.
Say God.
God.
Say Almighty God.
Almighty God.
These are promises of Almighty God. Prayer was never intended by Almighty God to be a hit or miss proposition. We're not firing buckshot here hoping to hit something when we pray. You know what buckshot is, don't you? They call it scattershot. Just fire it and it just spreads and you just hope to God you hit something. That's how a lot of people pray. Amen? You can be more accurate than that. Signs and wonders are to follow all believers who use the name of Jesus, not just the big 12, the original 12, and not just ministers. You there, Mark chapter 16? Verse 15. Jesus' last words. This is just before he ascended on high. This is the last thing he chose to say on the way out of here. That's big. Amen? He thought this one through. What am I going to tell them as I go? Aha. I know what I'll tell them. I'll reinforce their authority in my name. Because I'm not going to be here to do it for them anymore. They're going to have to do it for themselves. And I want them to do it with confidence. Mark chapter 16, 15, Jesus speaking. This is just minutes before he ascended. He said unto them, to his 12, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. 154 times we are told to preach the gospel. I'm telling you, God's not doing anything new. We got a group here on Cape Cod, as you hear me say constantly, preaching, God's doing a new thing. God ain't doing nothing new. 154 times in the gospel we're told to preach the gospel with signs following. That's what God's been doing for 2,000 years. That's what we need to be doing until Jesus comes. Amen? This is the New Testament program. Preach the gospel of Christ and signs will follow. Don't follow this group that's saying, come follow us, God's doing a new thing. He's not doing a new thing. Amen? He's doing the same thing. And it's a good thing. It's a powerful thing. Verse 16. Only the big 12. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow the big 12. No, it says these signs shall follow them that believe. This is key to what he's saying here now. Amen. These signs will follow those who believe in my name. Shall they cast out demons? You don't need to find a preacher to cast out a demon if you're a believer in Jesus. Jesus said, you do it.
Amen.
Just stand there and do it. Well, how do I do it, Pastor? Like this? Come out in Jesus' name. Well, what if I tell a demon to come out of someone and he doesn't? Well, what if you tell a demon to come out of someone and he does? Why don't you take a positive approach to this? Amen? They'll speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. Talking about persecution, he's not talking about the Nashville snake-handling Church of God in Christ. Fools who handle snakes to show they have faith. They're always dying when they do that. They get bitten, they die. He's talking about persecution, thrown into a snake pit. If they drink any deadly thing, also talking about persecution, it shall not hurt them. But they shall lay hands on the sick on purpose, and they shall recover. Now, it doesn't say anything about instant healing here.
Instant healing is the gifts of the Spirit in operation. There's a difference between instant healing and the recovery process. Recovery is progressive. You pray for the sick, they'll go into the recovery process and they will be progressively healed. But occasionally people still get instantly healed. Amen? But if we lay hands on the sick and expect and believe and release our faith in Jesus' strong name, the sick will go into the recovery process. Hallelujah. These signs shall follow those who believe. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven. See, those were his last words. Sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs or indications or beacons following. So that word means. Listen, you're supposed to pray for the sick. You're supposed to cast out unclean spirits. You're supposed to lead people to Christ and have supernatural events, beacons, signs, tokens following you. It's not just for the pastor. It's not just for the evangelist or the prophet or the apostle. It's for you. He said, these signs shall follow those who believe. Say, I believe. See, that's what we're called believers. That's what we do. We believe. Or we expect. We're expectors. To believe is to expect. You are to pray for folks, cast out unclean spirits, lay hands on the sick, pray for your family's salvation, and expect supernatural results. You have the right to do this because you are a new creation in Christ. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are seated at the Father's right hand in heavenly places in a position of tremendous authority. Therefore, you have the absolute right to use the name of Jesus and expect supernatural results. Amen. End of story. Hallelujah. 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 I'll help you stay awake. I'll do my part. You do your part. Amen. Look at Luke chapter 10. He said that signs and wonders would follow him that believe, or them that believe. Amen? He did not say signs and wonders would follow only the big 12. As I said, some of our evangelical brethren would tell us different. But they're mistaken. I say, give me the word. I go with the word. Amen? I take the word over mama. I take the word over evangelical Christianity, which a lot of times doesn't build on the word of God. I'll take the word of God over opinions of man, over psychology, over sociology, over everyology. You name the ology, I'll take the word over it. Amen? Now, we know that he gave his 12 disciples Holy Spirit power. You're there in Matthew 10. We'll just look at that. Now, we're going to go through some... What did I say? Go to Matthew 10 first. We'll go to, I give you my word. We'll go to Luke 10 next. Amen? I want to show you something here. Just confirm the fact that he did give Holy Spirit power to the 12. We know that he did, but he didn't limit himself to that. We'll look at it. These scriptures here, it's better to look at them in order. We're going to go through them kind of quick, and you're going to be blessed by this. Amen? For some of you people, it's just reinforcing what you already know. But for others, whether they're listening to us by recording, on CD, by the internet, who knows, by television, maybe even sitting in this room, it's brand new to some people. They don't realize the believer's authority in Christ. They don't realize that things aren't supposed to be happening to them, but rather things are supposed to be happening for them. Matthew 10:1, and when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power. That's dunamis, means dynamite, power. It's Holy Spirit power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So yes, we see, he did indeed give power to the 12. But there's more. Now go to Luke chapter 10. You see he gave it to the 12? Do you see that, Barbara?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You see, he gave power to the 12 to cast out evil spirits, to heal the sick. And we read in Mark chapter 16, when we pray for the sick, nothing there about instant healing. They said they'll go in the recovery process. Recovery is progressive. Amen? Sometimes people are instantly healed. That's the gifts of healings. All believers don't operate in the gifts of healings, but all believers can pray for the sick and expect the sick to go in the recovery process. Jesus gave that power. Look at Luke 10. This is for the sake of those who say, I still don't believe anybody but the 12 had that power. I've had people tell me that. I don't believe it. It's for the 12, and that's all the Bible says. I say, okay, you come with me and look at Luke chapter 10, if you would, just like you sweet people are now, verse 1. And these things the Lord appointed, after these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. And now, you're not going to do it now. You can do it as a homework assignment later. You read the chapter, you'll discover he gave these 70, in addition to the 12, power over unclean spirits and sickness and disease. Well, that's 82. Somebody dared to say to me, well, it's for the 82 only, and that's it. End of story. And I say, all right, you go to Acts chapter 1. Amen. Give me scripture. I take issue with the fact that it was only for the 82, the 12 and the 70. Amen? Go to Acts chapter 1. Hallelujah. You see where we're going with this? This power over unclean spirits, power over sickness and disease, power over lack and debt and poverty is given to all believers. The absolute right to use the name of Jesus and expect supernatural results is given to all believers. Not just Jesus, not just the 12, not just these 82. Amen? Look at right here. It's just getting bigger and better. You're there. I say Acts 2, I mean Acts 1. Hallelujah. Verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem. Say amen if you're there.
Amen.
Amen. From the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. That's 1 mile. They're allowed to travel 1 mile on the Sabbath. Amen. And when they were come in, they went into an upper room, where abode both Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Stop right there for a minute. That's the last time you see Mary in the Bible. She's not mentioned again after this. And you know what she's doing? She's in the upper room getting the Holy Ghost baptism and speaking in other tongues like any good Catholic. Hallelujah. Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, and look in the parentheses, the number of names together were about 120. We're going to stop right there. The very next chapter from this, we see the Holy Spirit infilling finally came on what is called the day of Pentecost. They were all baptized with the Holy Ghost in power. You can read that in Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4, on your own time. Don't read it on my time. You know how I feel about you reading ahead of me, because you miss what the Holy Spirit's saying. Here's 120 more. Well, 120, it included the 12, and probably some of the 70 were in there too, so I think we can safely say we find at least well over 200 people receiving Holy Spirit power to cast out unclean spirits, heal the sick, and use the name of Jesus and expect supernatural results. So we just blew that theory right out of the water that it's only for the 12, it's only for the 82. It's hang it up, baby. You got no scripture for that. Amen? Jesus said, these signs shall follow all who believe. Do you believe?
Yes.
Are you a believer? Yes. You have the absolute right to use the name of Jesus and expect results. Go to John chapter 14, real quick. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. How much more evidence do we need that this power isn't limited to the 12 apostles of the Lamb? Amen? But we're going to give you some more evidence. Amen? Now, as you're turning to John chapter 12, I'm going to remind you that Jesus performed four types of miracles primarily. John 14, what did I say? That's because, well, I'm not going to tell you why I said 12, because you read ahead of me. Listen up here, if you would. Jesus performed four types of miracles primarily. You want to put them in your notes? Four primary types of miracles. He performed miracles over nature. He performed miracles over the human body. He performed miracles over demon powers. And he performed miracles of provision. I'm going to give you those four again so you can write them down. Amen. Jesus performed four types of miracles. Miracles over nature. Miracles over the human body. Miracles over Satan and demon powers. And miracles of provision. So you have that, right? We have a CD over here. If it's not on the table, we'll get it out there for you. You can request it. It's called Four Types of Miracles, where I go into great detail, giving you examples of all four types of miracles that Jesus performed. Now, you as a believer are supposed to be performing the same basic type of miracles in His name. Look what He said in John chapter 14. Praise God for somebody around here who could correct me when I give wrong scripture references. Amen. That's part of our marriage covenant. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John 14, 12. Verily, verily, Jesus said, I say unto you, please say this with me, he that believeth on me. Say it again. He that believeth on me. One more time. He that believeth on me. There goes the Big 12 theory again. Amen? You know what a theory is? It's a supposition based upon a lack of evidence. So the Big 12 theory has been blown out of the water. Amen? We see from Scripture, these signs will follow those who believe on me. The works, see, that's the four types of miracles right there that he's referring to. Miracles over nature, the human body, demons, and miracles of provision. The four types of works that I do shall he do also. And look at this, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, he hasn't changed the subject. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments and you'll perform. You'll step out by faith, expecting to perform these four types of miracles. You'll pray expectantly in my name, expecting miracles over nature to occur when you need them to. Expecting miracles over the human body to occur when you need them to. Expecting miracles over Satan and demon powers to occur when you need them to. And expecting miracles of provision to occur when you need them to. You get that? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He said, if you love me, you won't fight me on this issue. If you love me, you'll use my name and you will expect supernatural results. You love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Are you willing to keep these commandments? Listen, these aren't things that just the apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, and teacher is supposed to be doing. He said this is for all believers. You're all supposed to be reaching out to your own world of influence, praying for people in Jesus' name and expecting supernatural results and filling up these chairs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll preach to Betty. She's smiling over here. Hallelujah. Amen. This is good. This is good. Amen. Listen, corporately, worldwide, we share the same anointing that was on the individual Jesus Christ. None of us are anointed without measure like Jesus was. We couldn't handle it. People throw gold at you. They want to glorify you. The girls throw themselves at your feet, want to go to bed with you. Well, that's the truth. Couldn't handle it. That's why a lot of preachers get in trouble when they get a hold of the power of God. Amen? Only Jesus could handle that kind of power. Only Jesus could handle the way gold was thrown at him. He said, nope, not for sale. Only Jesus could handle it. You know, you don't see any of this in Scripture, But you can be sure that it happened that women threw themselves at Jesus. That homosexuals threw themselves at Jesus. You know how I know that's true? Because Hebrews 4:15 says that Jesus Christ was tempted in all points, just like you and me, yet without sin. Amen? John 3:34 says that Jesus was anointed without measure. He was God in the flesh. He's the only one who could handle it. We can't handle that kind of gold, that kind of glory, and those kinds of girls or guys, you know, whatever might throw themselves at you if you were anointed the way Jesus was. But corporately, worldwide, the anointing that was on that individual God-man is on the body of Christ worldwide. We share the anointing that was on Jesus. Do you see that? That's what he meant when he said, the works that I do, you shall do, only greater works you shall do, because I go to be with the Father, meaning I'll send the Holy Ghost to come back and indwell my whole body worldwide, and then you can all do what I did, corporately. Amen? When Jesus walked the earth, you had to go find him if you needed a miracle, but not anymore. See, he was the only one who had the Holy Ghost. Now we all have the Holy Ghost. You need a miracle? Just find another believer to pray with you. Well, that's what the Bible says. Amen. Well, it's blessing me to preach this. Amen. Some people, there's always those who will argue this point and say that it's not true. Well, I'm not seeing those kind of miracles, Pastor. How come I'm not seeing those kind of miracles? Because you don't believe. You grieve the Spirit of God with your unbelief. Amen. God's not going to come around banging on your door with miracles if you don't believe in them. You're a mole-free agent. Amen. You don't believe this way, you're probably not going to see the supernatural manifest around you. You grieve the Spirit of God. Amen? I'll read to you Romans chapter 3, because we don't have much time left. Paul wrote in Romans 3:3, "For what if some do not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Absolutely not. God forbid. Let God be true, but every man a liar." People who aren't seeing miracles, I just read to you Romans chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. People who aren't seeing miracles in their lives need to examine themselves, not God, when they're not getting supernatural results. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Not God. Let God be true, and every man a liar. If you're not seeing the supernatural results that the Bible promises you, maybe you're not meeting the conditions somewhere. Amen? It's always God's will for people to be delivered from demonic oppression. But everybody doesn't get delivered from demonic oppression because everybody doesn't meet the conditions for being delivered from demonic oppression. It's always God's will to heal the sick, but the sick don't always get healed because the sick aren't always meeting the conditions to be healed. One of the biggest problems is not walking in love. Amen? The Bible says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything but faith, which worketh by what?"
Love.
Hallelujah. Check out your love walk, baby. I always say, how's your love life? Mm-hmm. Pastor, my prayers aren't being answered. I say, how's your love life? How's your love life? You walking in love? You get any unforgiveness in there in that little old heart of yours? Because if you do, you've got to get it out, because unforgiveness blocks the spout where the miracles come out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let me just tell you, I got a telephone call one time when I was living in Las Vegas, Nevada. A little two-year-old boy had gone through the window of an automobile just hours before I got this telephone call from a friend of mine out of a church that I was involved in a Bible school there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and praise God. Lift your hands and praise the Lord. Just praise Him. Just praise Him. So ge perregese came barishatega. Kamano segi peruta sage perode segi berete kishede. God, we thank you. Thank you. We have the absolute right to use the name of Jesus and expect results in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 So the telephone rings, and I get the telephone call. Brother Hamill! There's a woman who was going to the same church I was going to. I was going to the Bible school there. She wasn't going to the Bible school. I went to that Bible school for a year and a half before I changed Bible schools and went out to Tulsa to go to Rhema Bible Training Center. My friend's little boy, 2 years old, He went through the window of the vehicle in an accident, and the car ran him over. 2 years old. The doctor said he's not going to live. He's not going to make it. And he said, and even if he did make it, his brain is so damaged, he'll be a vegetable for the rest of his life. The doctor said it's best if he goes. He's so damaged internally, so damaged in his brain, the doctor said he's not going to make it, and it's best anyway. He said he suffered such brain damage, he'll be a vegetable. Will you come and pray? And what am I going to do? Say no? I said, yes, I'll come and I'll pray. And I began the process of getting ready to go up to the Las Vegas hospital there and pray for that little boy in intensive care. I'm blow drying my hair. I used to have long hair. I keep it short now. I'm a little more conservative. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. I'm much more conservative. I'm blow drying my hair, and I heard the voice of God in my spirit say, rebuke the spirit of death in Jesus' name, and I will raise the boy up. And I thought, whoo, I'm going up to the hospital for a miracle. Well, I finished getting ready in a hurry. Got myself up to the hospital. The child's mother was waiting for me. She was told that I was going to come and pray. And they took me in the room in intensive care. And I about fell on my face when I saw that child. I thought, oh God, what have I gotten myself into? That baby, he had tubes in his belly. In his big one in his belly, in his arms, in his nose, in his mouth. His face was so swollen, you couldn't tell. He didn't even look like a human being. He looked just like he just looked like hamburger. And I don't mean it disrespectfully. I just thought, oh, God, how can something like that live? I remember what the Lord said to me. You rebuke the spirit of death in Jesus' name, and I'll raise the boy up. So the mother left me alone in the room with the boy. And this little machine over here going, breathing for him. He was on life support equipment. He was as good as dead. And the doctor said he may as well die because he's going to be a vegetable. He'll never know anyone for the rest of his life. It's best if he go. I'm standing there looking at the child. In comes a nurse. I'm just getting ready to pray. Put my hand on his little leg and just getting ready to pray. And she just looks at me as if to say, what are you going to do there, big preacher boy, big faith man? Just gave me this real intimidating look, you know, and just stood there waiting to see if I was really going to stand there and pray for him. And she just looked at me like this. I had to pray in front of her. This is 20 years ago. Amen? I wasn't as powerful as I am today. Or as confident. And I'm standing there thinking, oh, great. I had to pray right in front of her. So I just did. I just said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of death in Jesus' name. Well, not like that. It was more like this. I rebuke the spirit of death in Jesus' name. I wasn't going to tell you that part, but hallelujah. And I walked out of there, and I went home. On the way home, I said, God, I'll never do anything like that again. I'm humiliated. Nothing happened. And that nurse is standing there staring at me as I give the big faith command in Jesus' name to the spirit of death. I was humiliated. I was so mad at God, put me in that position. Tell me, if I rebuked the spirit of death, you'd raise that boy up, and you did nothing, God. You let me just walk out of there, humiliated. So I was all through with God. I went to bed. I got a telephone call, probably 7 o'clock the next morning, I'm just guessing. And it's the same woman who asked me to go and pray. She said, Brother John, Brother John, Brother John! 13 hours after you went in there and prayed, he began to breathe on his own. They've already taken him off the life support equipment. He's breathing on his own. Woo! Glory be to God. Big man of faith and power.
Big man of faith and power, big backslider. I was mad at God because it didn't happen instantly. I needed the revelation. You'll lay hands on the sick and they will what? Recover. That boy went automatically into the instantly into the recovery process. He wasn't healed instantly. Too many believers do what I did. They bail out on God when they pray and something doesn't happen instantly. He said, you lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. I rebuked the spirit of death. God raised that boy up. In 13 hours, he started breathing on his own. 2 months later, I get a telephone call, and I was asked if I'd like to come on over and meet the vegetable. I was. I went over there, and that little boy was chasing his sister through the house, and he wouldn't even stop. Just 2 months later, he looked like pulp. When I had seen him 2 months before. God raised him up supernaturally. Through my great faith and power. No, just through my obedience. I did a little thing and obeyed him. He did a big thing and rose that baby up. The kid wouldn't even stop. He ran right past me chasing his sister. Healthy as could be. A little banged up, a little bruised up. But he was as healthy as he could be. Oh, glory be to God. You have the absolute right to use the name of Jesus and to expect results. If you'll stay with me here for another 5 minutes before we stand to sing and close. You know, the Bible says that we're saved, we're delivered, and we're strengthened by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I told you that so that you can know you can use the name of Jesus and expect results, just like I did that day. Amen? I did a little thing and obeyed. God did a big thing and drove the spirit of death right out of that child's life. Amen? Our friend, David, in Oklahoma. I told some of you this story before. I will close with this. You have the absolute right to use the name of Jesus and expect results because you are a new creation in Christ. You are the righteousness of God. You are seated at the Father's right hand in heavenly places. But Pastor, what if I use the name of Jesus and it doesn't work? And I always say, what if you use the name of Jesus and it does? Our friend David, his father needed a heart transplant. He had signed a waiver 30 years earlier with the telephone company. If he ever needed a heart transplant, they weren't responsible. Well, lo and behold, 30 years later, he needed a heart transplant. And they wouldn't give him the money for it. $165,000. This was how many years ago? 15 years ago, about? That's what they were going for then. They're probably going for three times that now. Insurance company wouldn't do it. His dad signed a waiver. Listen, David did everything he could to get the insurance company to change his mind. He went to his state senators, his state representatives, his senators, the American Heart Association. He hired an attorney. He was doing everything he could to get this insurance company. Don't let my dad go. Give him a heart transplant. We're not obligated. We got the waiver. The senators told them, the attorneys told them, the American Heart Association. There's nothing that can be done. Your dad signed the waiver. If he ever needs a heart transplant, we're not obligated. We're not bound, legally. I went in the shop where he was working. He's a printer. And I said, David, you praying about this? You can stand up now if you'd like. Amen. You praying about this, David? Are you praying about this? Stand up if you'd like, please. Amen. He said, I am praying. I said, tell me how you're praying. He said, I'm asking God to change the mind of the insurance company. I said, but just, all right, you're asking God, but show me, give me an example how you're praying. He said, okay, I'm praying like this. Jesus, please change the mind of the insurance company. I said, that's your problem. There's your problem. You're praying to Jesus. You don't have to stand up if you'd rather sit down. It's okay. We're going to sing and we're going to be dismissed. But I want to send you home on this high note. Amen? He's praying to Jesus. So to make a long story short, I gave him a little Kenneth Hagin book that showed him the importance of praying to the Father in Jesus' name. He stood there, read that book, and he said to me, now I see what I was doing wrong. I said, what were you doing wrong, David? I'm praying to Jesus, not to the Father. I said, you want to just repent right now and just we'll pray together and you can pray to the Father in Jesus' name and you'll get your miracle? He said, I already did.
This is just a, he just stood there reading the book in the print shop. He said, I already did. I said, well, then you'll get your miracle. Praise the Lord. God will move on the insurance company. Barbara and I stood in that print shop 20 minutes after he changed his prayer. Now, for over 2 months, he had been seeking attorney's help, his senators, his congressional representation. Nothing. Missing work, missing payments on his new home. 20 minutes after the way he changed his prayer from Jesus to praying to the Father in Jesus' name, ring, 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 ring. Hello, can I speak with David, please? He gets the telephone, gets on the telephone. We just watch him on the telephone, just stand there in awe, stand there in silence, wide-eyed. Thank you. Thank you very much. Hung the telephone up. He looked at us and he said, that was the insurance company. This is 20 minutes after he changed from praying to Jesus to praying to the Father in Jesus' name. That was the insurance company. What did they say? They said, Mr. Hyatt, we don't know why we're doing this. We've never done it for anyone before. But we're going to make an exception in your case, and we're going to grant the $165,000 for the transplant!
Hallelujah.
What a coincidence! Was that a coincidence? No. He was a born-again man. A new creation, the righteousness of God seated at the Father's right hand in heavenly places, but he was praying wrong. Jesus said in that day, you'll ask me nothing, but whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. You have the absolute right to use the name of Jesus against sickness and poverty and Satan and demon powers and expect supernatural results. Lift your hands and praise God for that. Hallelujah. Praise God for the believer's authority. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Thank Him for the name. Thank Him for the name. Just thank Him for that name. Thank Him. You have the absolute right to use the name of Jesus and expect supernatural results. Amen.